All right, we are recording as well. Okay, good evening. We are at Shoftim, the Sefer Shoftim Perek Chaf. We're almost at the end of the Sefer. And last week we had a pretty challenging Perek, chapter 19, which talked about the very tragic story of the Pilegesh Begiva, the concubine who suffered a very tragic, horrifying situation, or fate, and we will, and we made the point last time that there's a lot in chapter 20, in Perek 19, quite a few allusions in the chapter to Maisa Sdom, to the situation in Sdom, as well as several allusions to Akedas Yitzchak. And I sort of tried to make the point last week that I tried to make the point last week that what we see in this perek 19 is really the very morally complex situations that that arise, and what determines really whether something is moral or appropriate must ultimately be Dvar Hashem. Because left to our own devices, pure logic cannot sustain a moral ethic and a moral code. And so even though Akedas Yitzchak on its face is rather troubling, of course, it was just a test. It wasn't meant to be brought to fruition. But the fact that Avraham is lauded and extolled for being committed to doing something which we might consider, which we should properly consider to be morally objectionable, the fact that that is considered a mila, an attribute of Avraham Avinu, means that we are challenged that Akedas Yitzchak on its face, we're challenged about the morality of that. So what's the difference between the morality that could potentially say, slaughter your own firstborn, and the morality of and the immorality of Sodom? And what I tried to develop last week is that both situations are morally complex and challenging. And really the only thing ultimately that determines, in my view, that Akedas Yitzchak is morally proper and Sodom is immoral. Sodom being immoral is not hard to explain. But the fact that Akedas Yitzchak could potentially be something which is moral forces us to a conclusion that morality on its face is determined by divine will. And that's ultimately what we have to be. What has to be the determinant of our moral code and our moral ethics. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have any thoughts at all in our head, but ultimately, if there is an ultimate conflict between our logic and divine will, then we have to submit to divine will. And my thinking, and just in terms of practicality, right now it's just theory, but in terms of practicality, I think that the areas that provide moral ambiguity or challenges based on moral ambiguity are really very limited within the Torah code. So just on a practical level, I don't think it should come up that often. But ultimately, if we do find that a Torah ethic seems to conflict with what we believe to be morally upright, then we have to submit to the Torah ethic. And that's, I think, the notion of putting all of this in the story of Pilegesh Begiva. Because Pilegesh Begiva is the consequence of a moral code, of a people living on a moral code which is stripped from divine command. So I wanted to, and my purpose of raising this again is really to clarify the point that I was trying to make at the end of this year last week, as well as I wanted to add in a few more things that I found since last week. So I just want to start with the end of Perek Yud Tes and Shoftim. End of Perek Yud Tes. Starting from, let's see here. Starting from Pasuk 26, right? So the Pilagesh, was abused all night long. Vatavo ha'isha lefnos boker, vatipol pesach beis ha'isha asher adonai sham ad ha'or, and she collapsed in front of her master's house in the morning. Vayakam adonai haba boker, vayiftach daltos habayis, vayetzel aleches l'darko, v'hinei ha'isha pilagsho nafeles pesach habayis v'yadeh al asaf. So here's another allusion, if you will, to Akedas Yitzchak, where he gets up in the morning to go on his way. Get up and let's go. But there was no answer. And that reminds us of Avram Avinu, Vayakam Vayilach. He gets up to go. And he says to the lads, Nelcha ad, we will go there. Anivanar Nelcha, I and the lad will go to Kedas Yitzchak. And you, the other lads, will stay here with the donkey. The point is, there's another here of an allusion to the Akedas Yitzchak piece. And then he takes his dead wife or his dead concubine, and he puts her on the donkey, and they march forward. And again, the chamor plays a central role in the story of Avraham and Yitzchak going to the Akedah as well. And then it says, Vayakam ha'ish vayelech limkomo, that he got up and he went to his place. In Akedas Yitzchak, we have that same language, Vayakam vayelech, he got up and went. Then it says, Vayavo el beso, and when this man arrived at his home, Vayikach es ha'macheles, he took this hatchet, this knife, and then he took the Pilagesh's body and he chopped it up into 12 pieces and he sent it out around Israel, right? Now, here too is an allusion to Akedas Yitzchak. The knife that Avraham uses to almost slay his son Yitzchak is in fact called a, same word, ma'acheles. So the pasuk says that Avram takes the ma'acheles to slaughter his son, and we have the same thing over here. Vayikaches ha'ma'acheles. So, of course, the difference is, and then the pasuk continues. V'haya kol haroeh, everyone would see, and they would say nothing like this has been seen since the days of Mitzrayim. And I would suggest that in the light of everything else that we said, all these other allusions to Akedas Yitzchak, we have here another one where he says that everyone will see. V'haya kol haroeh ve'amar will see lonia, that nothing so awful has happened since the days of Mitzrayim. And the end of Akedas Yitzchak, God says, Ate Adati, now I know ki rei Elokim ata, that you are one who fears Hashem. In other words, there is a sort of a message that will go out far and wide, that there's clarity now about something regarding Avraham at the time of the Akedah, and there's clarity now about something tragic that has occurred in Klal Yisrael. So why all these allusions to the Akedah? Precisely for the thesis that I said last week and which I summarized a moment ago, namely that this perek is telling us that when there are moral ambiguities, according to our own thinking, then what it's a challenge and it tests our faith. But ultimately, we believe that the moral code that we are given is in fact moral because of divine command. And left to our own devices, as I said last week, now you can end up with a society like Nazi Germany, where the moral code is to destroy all the Jewish people and, et cetera, gas them and cremate them and make them and all those wonderful things. So that's an addendum to last week's shir. Ad kan perek yud tes. And now I'd like to begin perek chaf, chapter 20. Yes, Barbara, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was just curious. Maybe he thought she was like a Korban.
Oh, that's a thank you. That's another beautiful, precisely. I'm sorry I didn't say that. That's another allusion, if you will, or a comparison here to Akedas Yitzchak. Avraham put this, child on the altar to slay him, and this woman, in essence, is a carbon. I mean, not a carbon, but is sort of functions in that same imagery. On the exact opposite end of the spectrum, not Kodesh at all. None of these allusions mean that this is a proper environment. It's actually, these allusions are in order to create the contrast. The similarity is that these are both morally challenging situations. Okay, I don't want to review everything I just said, but I think that your point is well taken. Okay, any other comments before we move forward? Okay, so Perek Chaf, Vayetzu Kol Bnei Yisrael. So before we begin the Perek, here's my challenge to you. I'm going to raise to you a lot of things that I see here in the Perek, and maybe you'll be able to suggest what is the meaning of the allusions that I'm going to show to you, that I'm going to demonstrate. Vayetzu kol bnei Yisrael vatikahel kol ha'eda ki ish echad lemidan va'ad be'er sheva ve'eretz ha'gilad el Hashem b'mitzvah. So after he sent out these pieces of animal the pieces of the concubine throughout the land of Israel, so the bnei Yisrael went out, they gathered Vatikahel ha'eda ki ish echad, as one person, as one unit, from Dan until Be'er Sheva, El Hashem ha'mitzvah, towards Hashem in a place called Mitzvah, which was in the land of Binyamin. Binyamin is the Nachla and the Shevet in which this terrible tragedy of the Pikilagish Begiva occurred. So I think it's interesting to note here. Well, let me read one more pasuk, and then I'll make the comment. Vayisyatzvu pinos kol ha'am kol shivtei Yisrael b'kahal am ha'elokim arba meos elafi shragli sholef cherev. So the pasuk says that all the leaders of the people, vayisyatzvu pinos kol ha'am, all the leaders of the people and all the tribes of Israel presented themselves to the assembly of God's people, 400,000 fighting men on foot. I just lost you all. Let's see, where'd you go? Ah, okay, there you are. So I think what's interesting to note in these psukim here is the allusion, which, let me ask you, anybody remember where the word vayitzyatzvu prominently occurs in Chumash? Vayitzyatzvu? Nope, before Korach.
No.
What?
Was it Korach?
No. I think the pasuk says Vayisyatzvu b'tachtit ha'har.
Oh, Har Sinai.
Har Sinai, right? The Jewish people stood up at the bottom of the mountain. And this is not a word that comes up that often, and I think that this is an allusion to that Vayisyatzvu at Har Sinai. So here you have them all coming out. Like at Har Sinai, and going back one pasuk, the pasuk says the Jewish people went out, vatikahel ha'eda, they all gathered together, and that's another language which is used by Har Sinai, hakel li, gather for me the nation. So the notion of kahal, of the nation gathering, the fact that they were vayisyatzvu at the foot of the mountain. Furthermore, it says, vatikahel ha'eda ki ish echad, like one person, like one unit. And Chazal famously teach that it says by Har Sinai, Vayichan Ha'am, that the nation encamped, using the singular Vayichan, rather Vayachanu. And Chazal say, the rabbis teach us that Vayichan over there is to teach us Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, that they were of one mind, of one body, of one purpose. The people were united. So here you have a bunch of allusions here to Har Sinai, as the Jewish people are gathering to go to war against Shevet Binyamin. Vayishmu b'nei Binyamin, Pasuk 3. Vayishmu b'nei Binyamin ki alu b'nei Yisrael ha-mitzpah. Jewish people heard, Binyamin heard that b'nei Yisrael were coming to mitzpah. Vayomer b'nei Yisrael, and the b'nei Yisrael, other than Binyamin, said, Dabru, echa nihasa hara hazos. So b'nei Binyamin heard that the rest of b'nei Yisrael was awakened by the tragedy, and they were inquiring to know what occurred. Vayan ha'ish ha'levi, and they said, echa nihasa hara hazos. How did this terrible thing, what exactly happened over here? And the Ish Levi, the man, Ish Ha'isha HaNirtzacha, the man of the woman, the husband of the woman who had been killed, Vayomar, and he explained, HaGivas Asher LeBinyamin, Basi, I came to the land of Binyamin, Ani U'Pilag Shilalun, myself and my concubine, we came to sleep there, to rest overnight. Vayakumu alai balei hagiva, and the people from the area gathered against me. Vayasobu alai es habayis laila, and they encircled the house. Osi dimu laharog vespilakshi inu vatamos. They had designs to kill me, and my concubine. They intended to abuse, and she died. Va'ochez befilag shi va'an techeha va'ashlecheha b'chol sedei nachalas Yisrael, ki asu zima u'nevala b'Yisrael. And then he says, "I saw after seeing what happened, I took hold of my concubine, I cut her in pieces, and I sent them through every part of Israel's territory for this outrageous act of depravity that had been committed in Israel." So this pasuk has a couple of interesting allusions as well. This pasuk we have the language of ki asu zima u'nivala b'Yisrael. This we actually had it in chapter 19 as well. Al tasu es hanavala hazos. Don't do this disgusting behavior, action. Does anybody remember in Sefer Bereishis where we have this language? That a nivala b'Yisrael shall not be done.
That what?
A nivala, a tragic, disgusting action, should not be done to the Jewish people.
Dina?
Yes, that is correct. Dina, when the brothers see that Shechem had similar another case of somebody who had apparently abused a woman. So in that case, the brothers gather and they say, "Nivala lo yaseh b'Yisrael." Our daughter and sister, you know, Yaakov's daughter and our sister cannot be treated this way. So to such a terrible, disgusting thing should be done. So this language, I mean, again, is pretty unique, drawing our attention back to the Maisa of Shechem and Dina. So we have here a bunch of allusions to Har Sinai. We have here this allusion to Shechem and Dina. In this very same pasuk, I think we have another interesting allusion. Let me read the pasuk again. Vayakumo alai, vayasobu es habayis. I'm sorry. Va'achez b'filak shi. I took her va'antecheha, and I divided her up into pieces. And va'ashlacha b'chol sede nachlas Yisrael, and I sent them throughout the Jewish people. Ki asu zimon v'alab Yisrael. So I think here, this is, you know, what did you want to say, Rabbi Shaloni?
If you took the behemoth, the behemoth, the
yeah, I don't remember exactly yet, but I would think that the Shauls would be an echo of this, because historically Shaul happened after this. So while this does remind us of that, but if one were to make a comparison, I think you would take a look at the story of Shaul and look back here, because this is prior to that. So I would look at this and look at something prior to... Go ahead, Rabbi Shalom. I'm...
You have to remember when you teach the...
Yeah, right. when we get up to what is it, the Melachim, we'll have to do that as well, yeah. But I think, you might think that I'm off on this, but to me, this reminds me of Bris Bein HaBesarim, right? The Bris Bein HaBesarim, when Avraham takes the animals and he cuts them into pieces, he doesn't send them anywhere, but it's the same kind. You know, we don't have that. I can't even think of another time in the Chumash where you have some type of ceremony or some type of situation where a person or a thing is like split up, is chopped up into pieces like this. So to me, this recalls the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Okay, so we have allusions here to Har Sinai. I mean, it's such a strange place to have these allusions, right? This is the Jewish people gathering to go to war against Shevet Binyamin for the terrible tragedy that that befell this Peleg.
But what about the husband, Rabbi?
What about him?
Rightfully so, very concerned about what B'nai Binyamin did, but it's like...
What did B'nai Binyamin do, Barbara?
That they abused her.
I mean, it wasn't the whole Binyamin.
No, I mean, the people who came from Binyamin, I'm right. saying.
Okay. Okay.
But right. I'm saying, but he did a heinous thing too, and they seem to like gloss over that.
So I'm not sure that it's being glossed over, because once you are holding all of Binyamin responsible for the heinous acts of a few, who's to say that it's those individuals that abused her through the night and not him as well for his actions? You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, no, that he is being held accountable. Barbara was saying that they're sort of glossing over him. And
right. It's all kind of seeing, I mean, right, if you look at it, I went through the last 5 Prakim Hashanah with him Friday night with Rizki, and so it does seem, if you look on the surface, it does kind of seem like it's not given great attention. It's like, this is what was done, and, you got to cut out the cancer, and send the message, and so on and so forth. But obviously, when you dig in a little bit, you see that it's not just being...
Right, but the question is, who's the cancer? Maybe the husband is part of the cancer.
Right.
Okay. So so let's go a little further. So so let's just sum up here. So we have these allusions to Har Sinai. We have allusions to Bris Bein HaBesarim. We have the allusions to Shechem and Dina, right? The brothers by Shechem and Dina. Let's go a little further. Hine kulchem bnei Yisrael, havu lachem davar ve'etza halom. So he says, behold, you all bnei Yisrael, you have to figure out what you're going to do about all this. So, he seems to be like the, presenting himself as like the aggrieved party on some level. Vayakam kol ha'am ki ish echad lemor. And again, you have this unified stance, like that's like the Har Sinai thing. Ki ish echad lemor. Lo nelech ish la'ahalo, v'lo nasor ish leveso. This is again a Har Sinai allusion, where you have at the end of the Aseres Hadibros. So, what did anybody remember the pasuk? What does it say? It says, Shvu lachem le'ohaleichem. What?
Shvu lachem
le'ohaleichem. Everybody, go back to their tent. So again, if this was the only phrase that somehow raised the connection to Har Sinai, I don't think it would be enough. But in context of everything else that we're saying, I think all of this paints a picture that as we're reading these psukim, Bnei Israel gathering to go to war against the Shevet Binyamin, all of this is painting a picture, like, why am I, my mind is constantly being drawn back to Har Sinai. Like, what's that about? V'ata zehadavar pasuk tes. V'ata zehadavar asher naseh la giv'ah aleha bagoral. This is what we're going to do. We're going to draw lots. V'lakachnu asara nashim l'me'ah. We're going to take groups of 10 out of 100, 100 of 1,000, 1,000 for 10,000. Lasos levoam legeva binyamin kechol hanavala asher asa b'Yisrael. And they're going to attack Binyamin for this dastardly deed that was done by Israel. And again, using that same language, Nevala Asher Asa b'Yisrael, reminding us of the story of Shechem and Dinah, where that phrase was coined for the very first time, Nevala Asa b'Yisrael. Vayasef kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir ki ish echad chaverim. Okay? I think if I counted correctly, that's the third time it says ish echad. Ki'ish echad, reminding us again, as the thesis that I'm developing here, of Har Sinai. Vayish l'chu shivtei Yisrael anashim b'chol shivtei binyamin leimor. And all of the shivatim sent representatives to Binyamin saying, Mahara azos asher niyasavachem. What exactly, this evil that happened within you? V'yata tnuas anashim b'nei b'lial asher b'givan n'misayim. Hand over the perpetrators and we will punish them. U'nevara ra'im Yisrael, and we will expunge this evil from Israel. V'lo avu binyamin l'shma b'kol acheihem b'nei Yisrael, and b'nei binyamin did not want to listen. V'yasvu b'nei binyamin min harim ha'givasa l'tzeis l'milchama b'nei Yisrael. And they go to go to war. Okay. I'm going to put this like as one unit. I'm going to read a few more. Actually, I'm not going to read a few more. I want to pause here for a second and see if we can, put together an idea here. Here you have this really awful deed that occurred in Shevet Binyamin, and Klal Yisrael have been notified of it. They're now a woke Klal Yisrael. They are quite incensed by the immoral tragedy and horror that has been committed. And as the Navi is painting for us this picture of them gathering to go to war against Binyamin, we have powerful allusions in the Psukim to Matan Torah in Har Sinai, to Bris Bein Habasarim, to Shechem and Dinah. So, does anybody have a thesis here about why the Torah is pointing our attention in that direction while it's giving us the description of their gathering to go to war here? What's the connection? What's the purpose? Anybody have any thoughts? Yes, they were. They were very different things. So we have three different things going on. We have Bris Bein Habasarim, we have Har Sinai, we have the story of the brothers in Shechem and Dinah. Can we find a common denominator that binds all that together?
Is it accountability as a people?
Okay, what do you want to say?
Is that kind of behavior would spread. Here's a clear message that this is not acceptable. The brothers, there was a group accountability there, right? Bris Bein Habasarim, clearly the Bris, covenant includes everyone.
Good.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay, and of course, Har Sinai is all about accountability. Okay, all right, good. I think that is a part of the picture, that this is all about saying that the Jewish people, the ethos of Klal Yisrael, it's not just about this particular moment in time. It's about the ethos of what it means to be a Torah Jew. It's about responsibility and that's what accountability means. Responsibility. If there's no accountability, then there's no responsibility. I love when politicians say, I am responsible for what happened, and then nothing happens to them. So, like, what does it mean you're responsible? You just said the words. It's a meaningless gesture. It's a meaningless statement. So, it would be meaningful if a politician said that in my position, I'm the one who's responsible, and okay. So now, what's the accountability for that? Short of accountability, there's no responsibility. So one element here is clearly saying that when there is when there's something that happens in Klal Yisrael, there is a need for accountability and responsibility. That's one piece of it. But there's another piece of it which goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Rabbi Shaloni.
I'll put you to another case completely. Achei Yosef come to Mitzrayim to save Binyamin, and they were ready to fight for Binyamin. Everybody together. Everybody together. So, Achino. The Yehuda came there, and they were ready for it. And here it's the opposite. They are all against Binyamin. But it's the same thing. You're talking about accountability. You can see, no matter what, if it's for him or against him, but everybody together.
Okay.
In the positive and the negative.
Okay. So I say that that's the second prong here. The first is about accountability, and the second is about achdut. And look at
what? I want to say the same thing. Unity.
Unity. So let's look at these various allusions, starting with Har Sinai. They stood together, unified at the bottom of the mountain. Hakeli, the notion of kahal, of being unified. The brisbane habisarim is, even though it's splitting of the pieces, but really that's when Hashem promises to Avram Avinu about the fact that all of Klal Yisrael will be the beneficiaries of the land of Israel. It's the national covenant. This is not some private thing between Hashem and Avraham. This is about the representing Klal Yisrael as a whole. Furthermore, it says Vayakam Kol Ha'am Ki Ish Echad. It says that multiple times here. Ish Echad, Ish Echad, Ish Echad. This notion of Achdus, of unity. Furthermore, the Shechem and Dinah is also about the unity of the brothers. It's the unity of brothers against to hold accountable an evil that has occurred. So all of these together paint a picture of accountability and responsibility, but it's not just about personal accountability and responsibility. It's about achdus. It is about when a Jew sees that there is evil, that there is wrong, that there is injustice, that there is impropriety, we don't look the other way, but we gather together as one to engage and confront the injustice, to engage the ra. And as Yitz said, to maybe splice it out. But at the end of the day, it's two prongs. It's both. It's both responsibility and achdus. And that's why I think that you have these psukim that are that as they're gathering for war, the psukim, like the underlying message here, is that this isn't just a story about this terrible thing that occurred and the other shvatim getting together. This is telling us that this is part of what it means. This is the ethos. This is a foundational principle of what it means to be a Jew. And in fact, they try to bring Binyamin on board, Rabbi Shaloni. Right? They go to Binyamin and they say, listen. We're approaching you. Vayishalchu shivtei Yisrael and Hashem. They sent representatives to go talk with Bnei Binyamin. They said, listen, this terrible thing has happened. Come on board with us. There are 11 other shvatim, right? Or whatever. We have all the other shvatim. And so they reach out to Binyamin first. Now Binyamin declines to participate.
Isn't that surprising, Rabbi? I mean, to me it would seem surprising that they wouldn't want to bring them to justice themselves.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, why did Binyamin hold out? Chippy, you have something to say?
I was just thinking maybe they wanted to take care of the problem themselves.
Yeah, you know, Binyamin is a very loyal, is a very loyal brother. And it could be that this is like sort of that Mida sort of taken one step too far. So he said, we're going to protect our own. We're going to deal with our own. We're going to, and so it could be like this is the Mida. It's a good Mida, but every Mida, if it taken to an extreme, can be detrimental. So,
there was also I found myself thinking about what happened with Lavan, where I was trying to think of the context within which this all takes place. The way that when they surrounded his house, or it was it was on the whole.
Lot.
So it just made me think of that. Perhaps this was just kind of like a thing that was done by sort of certain groups, and there are aspects. Look, we're part of the societies we live in, and you can't help but think and influenced by what goes on around you. And
Last week, I'm not sure if you're here last week or not, but last week in chapter 19, we did a whole thing on the connection between Lot and Sodom and this event going on over here. So yeah, so that is very central.
Okay.
Yeah, Barbara, you want to say something?
I apologize. Didn't it say Vayityatzvu with Anshei Sodom also around Lot's house?
Oh, thank you. I just 20 minutes before the shir, I noticed that. Yes, it does say that. I didn't put it together like what the implication of it is, but yes, it does say that as well over there. Yeah.
Before Har Sinai, when you said Vayityatzvu in Bereshit, I said,
I don't have a working theory for the connection on that, but yes, it's another stone connection. That's for sure. Okay, so what's interesting now is let's continue a little further. So Binyamin reached out. Pasukud Beis. Vayishlachu Shivtei Yisrael Anashim B'chol Shivtei Binyamin Leimor Mahara Azos Asher Niyasai B'chem. So they reach it out and they say, listen, this horror has been done in your borders. Tunu Anashim, give them to us and we'll take care of them. Binyamin refuses. Pasuk Yedalad. Vayosku B'nei Binyamin Min Aramagiv Asal Atzei Slamechamam B'nei Yisrael. And Binyamin now decides they're going to go to war. Right? This is loyalty taken to a bad extreme. So soldiers gather for war by Binyamin. In addition to another 700. These were highly trained soldiers. They were left-handed people that could kolea ba'even El Hasa'ara v'lo yachti. They could, they could hit the mark with perfect marksmanship. The Ish Yisrael, and then the rest of Bnei Yisrael, Levan mi Binyamin, Arba Meos Elef Ish Olef Cherev, calls it Ish Milchama. So you had 400,000 Klal Yisrael against 26,000 approximately, a little more, 26,700 of Shevet Binyamin. Now, Vayakumu vayalu Beisel vayishalu Beilohim vayomer bnei Yisrael mi'ale lanu batchila. They go up to Beit El and they inquire of Hashem through the Navi, apparently, or through whoever, mi'ale lanu batchila. Who should lead us against Binyamin? And who is going to lead them against Binyamin? Vayomer Hashem Yehuda batchila. It's going to be Yehuda.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's hard.
That is harsh. That is harsh. So here you have Yehuda.
Remember?
What? Yes, right. So, right. Right.
Now Yehuda against Binyamin.
Exactly, Rabbi Shaloni. Right? So originally it was Yehuda. Yehuda was standing by Binyamin. And now you have Yehuda going going against Binyamin. So Yehuda really displays, I think, true leadership here. Because true leadership isn't, like, in other words, Binyamin, I think, sort of felt that, okay, they have this mid of loyalty, and you have to be loyal, you have to be loyal, you have to be, you have to be loyal, you have to protect your brother, right? But it can't be without any, without any distinction, without any discernment. Yehuda was like, you know what? I have this bond with Binyamin, but I cannot allow that bond to overshadow what has to be done here. And what has to be done here is to take seriously what it means to be a Jew, and that is accountability and unity. It's not just unity of Klal Yisrael, it is unity for the purposes of defeating evil and injustice. And so you can imagine how hard it must have been for Shevet Yehuda, right, that had this bond, this historical familial bond with Shevet Binyamin. And Yehuda does it anyway. Yehuda does it anyway. I mean, that's real gevura. That's real leadership. Now, Vayakumu Vayalu Beit El, they inquire in Beit El. Vayomar Hashem Yehuda Batchila. Yehuda should go forth. He's going to lead you in battle. Vayakumu Bnei Yisrael, Vayakumu Bnei Yisrael Baboker, they get up in the morning, they camp in Giv'ah, Vayetze Yish Yisrael and Melchama Binyamin, and the rest of Bnei Yisrael go to war with Binyamin. Vayarchu Itam Ish Yisrael Melchama El HaGiv'ah. And they engage in battle. Vayetzu, yeah?
I was just thinking, it was Hashem who told Yehuda to go. It's not as if the other Shvatim told Yehuda to go. So
actually, it's the other we don't know. It just says Bnei Yisrael inquired, and Bnei Yisrael were told Yehuda.
It didn't say Hashem, Mama.
Vayomer Hashem Yehuda batchila, but it doesn't. Yeah. It's not saying that Hashem addressed Yehuda directly.
No, but I'm saying, but it came from Hashem.
Yes, it came from Hashem. That's correct.
Right. He had no choice. They had no choice but to go.
Well, everybody has a choice. The question is, will you make the right choice? Yes.
Why did they have to necessarily go to war right away? Why couldn't there be some kind of
So they did. They tried to get Binyamin to give up the egregious parties. You know, the offending people. And Binyamin refused to give up the offenders. So, okay, you're saying maybe they should have tried more. Maybe they should have tried more. Okay, maybe. But they did, you know, it's not like they gathered for war and just a slam attack. They did set every, it says every Shevet sent representatives to Vayishalchu Shivtei Yisrael Anashim B'chol Shivtei Binyamin Lemor. They sent representatives throughout Shevet Binyamin, Bechol Shivtei Binyamin. So, you know, it seems like they did make a hishtadlus here to resolve this amicably or non-violently first.
Non-violently.
You know.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Did I answer? You know, I mean, not an answer, but today I was just on another Zoom with Yehoshua.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. So Chatzi Shevet Menashe, when it went on the other side of right. the Yarden, as soon as they crossed, they built a very, very large Mizbeach.
Right.
And Bnei Yisrael were very upset because they thought
that perhaps, you know, that they would bring Karbanos outside of
So Pinchas went in and investigated first before they did anything.
Right. So what Sadel just said reminded me about that.
Right.
That's what made me think of it.
Right. So I think that they did make an effort, that they did send shlichim throughout Shevet Binyamin. I want to just go back here to Pasuk 15. It says, Vayaspaktu b'nei Binyamin, Esrim v'shisha elef ish, sholef cherev. There were 26,000 people that are sholef cherev, brandishing a sword. That language, sholef cherev, is not very common in Tanakh, and certainly not common in the Chumash. If I'm not mistaken, that phrase, charbo shalufa, shalifat cherev, only comes up, I think, if I'm not mistaken, only one time in the Chumash.
Gan Eden.
Twice. No, but does it say shalaf? I think it says, it's by Bilam. I don't think it says, the angels, let me double check over there. The angels by Gan Eden, I don't think it says shalaf. By Bilam it says charbo shalufa biyado. Hold on, so I'm just taking a quick look here at Gan Eden. It says, no, it just says, Bayashkein mikedem legan Eden, es hakruvim ve'es lahat hacherev ha-misapeches lishmor zaderech. It doesn't say charbo shlufa, but it says by Bilam, right? It says by Bilam. So I'm going to, it's already 8:51, so we have 9 minutes left. I'm not going to read all these psukim, the next 10 psukim, but if you take a look at the next 10 psukim, there's something very interesting that you find over here. They go out to war, day one, they are unsuccessful, and Binyamin wipes them. Day two, they go out to war again, and Binyamin wipes them. And now, take a look at Pasuk 20, Pasuk 26, after 2 days of being beaten back by Binyamin, Pasuk 20, Pasuk 27, Vayishalu b'nei Yisrael, 26, Vayalu kol b'nei Yisrael v'chol ha'am v'yavo Beitel, they all b'nei Yisrael come up to Beitel, they cry, they fast, they bring karbanos, Vayishalu b'nei Yisrael b'Hashem, and they inquire of God in front of the Aron Bris Hashem, and they say, what's going on over here? And Pinchas represents them. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen speaks, and he says, Ha'osifod latzeis l'milchama, should we continue going out to war with Binyamin, our brother, imechdal, or should we cease the battle? And Hashem responds, go up, tomorrow you will be successful. Vayasem Yisrael arvim al agiva, and then they proceed with a whole plan of attack. So I think it's very interesting here. You have this allusion to Bilam and Balak, right? That Bilam, where Bilam hits his donkey three times, right? And he's stopped in his way because there is an angel, Charbo Shlufa, holding a sword here. So here you have when Bnei Yisrael are going out to war with Binyamin, with their Charbo Shlufa, right? They have to try three times before they're ultimately successful. So what's this Bilam connection over here? I think it's a very clear connection to the story of Bilam. The pshat of the psukim is that they go out to war, 3 days of battles, they're unsuccessful the first two. Finally, after the third day, the second day, they pray to Hashem, they fast, they this, they that, and Hashem says, third day will be successful, and they're successful, in fact, on the third day. It's like reminiscent a little bit of of Bilam with his donkey beating it three times, right? What?
Yeah,
right, Shlosha Regalim. And then
Bilam made several attempts to curse B'nai Yisrael.
Right, well, that's true also. Bilam tries several times to curse B'nai Yisrael. But specifically over here, with the sword brandishing angel and beating the thing three times, you have here the sword brandishing soldiers, and they have to try three times before they are successful in their battle.
You'd almost think that they were right, Binyamin. I mean, because if they're compared to what the Malach did,
right?
And why would they be right?
Right. So
I don't know why want them to win over the rest of Bnei Israel. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. So that's precisely the question.
That's politics.
It's politics, says Rabbi Shalhoney. Okay. All right. So we have to count the ballots. Count the ballots.
Politics didn't exist before this election.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I think if you look at the psukim, originally it says they go to, before they go out to war, it says they inquired of Hashem, Mi alelanu, who should lead us in battle? At the end, after they fail a couple of times, Pinchas says, basically, should we go out to battle or should we stop? In other words, you could make the argument that when they originally went out to battle, this was like the heat of the moment, if you will, that this was not a done al pi Dvar Hashem. They didn't ask God if they should go to war. They said, God, we're going to war. Who do you suggest should lead us? Hashem says, okay, well, if you're asking, I would send Yehuda. Nobody asked me if you should go out to war or not. In other words, going back to our original thesis that we said here, Perek Yud Tes, and now this week again, that when it comes to questions of morality and questions of right, this is life and death. You're killing people. These are questions of moral questions of the highest order. They can never be divorced from Dvar Hashem. All of chapter 19 was showing us what are the consequences when you divorce morality from Dvar Hashem. You end up with Pelegesh Begiva, Sdom. The opposite of Akedas Yitzchak. As challenging as Akedas Yitzchak is, we have to submit that it was right because it's Dvar Hashem. Our morality cannot be based entirely by human logic, because human beings have the extraordinary capability to create to rationalize anything to be moral. Right, and unfortunately, we've seen the consequences of that in too many societies. Right, but what?
I'm sorry.
But so our morality has to be rooted in Dvar Hashem. So there's a third prong here. Prong number one is accountability and responsibility. If we see injustice, if we see evil, if we see wrong, we can't say, oh, whatever. No, we have to come together. We have to be accountable and responsible when it comes to trying to root out evil and injustice. Second prong is you have to come together. It's not just about responsibility. It's about Klal Yisrael coming together and doing it with Achdus. And the third prong here is that it has to be rooted in Dvar Hashem.
Rabbi?
And, one second, it has to be rooted in Dvar Hashem. And that's the connection to Bilam. Bilam hit that animal three times. Hashem was standing right in front of him in the guise of a malach, but he was blind to it. Until Vayigal, God revealed the angel to Bilam. And it turned out that the Malach was standing there the whole time, and Bilam didn't know it. That's the point. The Dvar Hashem is there in front of us, And we have to, certainly in the times of the Navi, where they had even greater access to understanding what Dvar Hashem was in particular situations, they were challenged to act upon it. And to the extent in our day and age that we can glean what is Dvar Hashem from the Torah, from the words of the Nevi'im, and from our Masorah, that has to be our guidance when taking action, be'achdus, against injustice and evil where we see it. So Parak 20 over here puts together three important prongs that are not just relevant in the story that we're reading, but really relevant to us in our lives as well. Yitz, you want to say something?
One more. It reminds me of...
Rabbi Shaloni, hold on 1 second. Yeah, go ahead, Yitz.
This reminds me of something I think Rabbi Schiffman posted either over the weekend, or there was an article about Rabbi Soloveitchik and Lord Jonathan Sacks that talked about when Rabbi Sacks was like 25 years old, he published something challenging some of the works that Rabbi Soloveitchik had published. And there was a reaction of like, who's this young schnook who's challenging, you know, and then they got together, they talked and so on. And one of the things that Rabbi Sacks, I think, wrote about was that it's okay to have new ideas, fresh ideas, but what's the icker, like you said just now, but they have to be based on something. And for us as Jews, they have to be based on halacha, and then you go from there. Otherwise, you're just starting another religion, or you're starting another whatever it is.
Right, right.
I think he took back what he said.
Rabbi Schiffman?
No, Rabbi Sacks.
Oh, Rabbi Sacks. Rabbi...
I think it was a book that unless it's a different story, book that he published.
And he retracted it?
He retracted.
Okay.
I was thinking of the spies. When the spies went out with Moshe, I think it was something with Hashem's word, like the way Moshe asked the question, Hashem didn't really tell them to go out.
Right. Right.
So they didn't have Hashem's word there.
Exactly. Exactly. Go ahead, Rabbi Shaloni.
There's one more place that says, Havosh Yuhavi True Flavia Dor.
Yeah.
Malach Pagash Yoshua.
Oh. Right. Right.
That's the same root, same shoresh. Mm-hmm. And Dvar Hashem is the, and the Malach told him, you know, this country is Admat Kodesh. Just remember that. Hamakom asher ata omed alav Admat Kodeshu. Kodeshu. So we see here the whole story of the opposite of Kodesh.
Right.
The kulam machzikim et acheret, the churban, the mevi churban. If we don't hold it as the holy land, and we do all kind of dvarim ka'ele as a churban, then we did a churban.
Right. So the cherev reflects the fact of the churban that was occurring, the spiritual churban of that is reflected in Pilegesh Begiva,
and the war.
Okay.
So, should they have gone to battle or not?
Well, apparently they did. They should have gone to battle because ultimately Hashem says, "Tomorrow I will send Binyamin in your hands." But they should have gone to battle first with consulting what's Dvar Hashem, because responsibility and achdus, divorced of Dvar Hashem, you know, is just a subjective. You know, the subjective whims of our collective. That could just be mob rule. You know what transformed this from mob rule into being morally acceptable. To take a life is not a small matter. I don't have to say that. We all understand that. So before doing something as serious as that, you have to consult with Dvar Hashem, and so that's why 2 days. You know, they were banging the equivalent of banging the donkey, because they weren't operating at Dvar Hashem. Once they opened their eyes to Dvar Hashem, then the path became clear.
Was that similar to when Bnei Israel asked for a melech? and Hashem really didn't want